Listen to The Drive. That's us at 7:55. That's in under an hour. You can win tickets to Bon Jovi, February 28th at Golden One. And qualify. We got a grand prize for you and five of your buddies to have your very own bay at Topgolf this Sunday. Yeah. We'll be out there for Championship Sunday. You can play a little golfy and watch the NFL playoffs. Yes, sir. It is 7:03. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo coming to Cal Expo this Thursday through Sunday, 19th through the 22nd. 15 minutes from now, we'll talk about Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. Right now, your Sacramento Kings are 1-5. Six games through a homestand. Remember when we said, oh, you know, get through the road games. Mm-hmm. Schedule's going to lighten up. They got that eight-gamer now with Philadelphia.
Well, shoot, it didn't lighten up.
They come home.
Coming home is one thing, but to come home and face the opponents that they have, I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but
I'm a pessimist.
They tripped over just about every hurdle.
They did. I thought 3-4. I did. I thought 3-4. 3-4, 4-3. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you've got Clippers, Warriors, Cavs. Those for me were the for sure three losses. And even the Clips, for a minute, I was like, well, you know, Clips have lost a couple of games. You know, they're playing bad. They had a nice losing streak.
Six-game losing streak.
Right, but, you know, no way to get healthy. You remember, the Clippers got healthy in Sacramento. Kyle Korver fit in with the Cavs in Sacramento. And then last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder just – and remember, Steven Adams did not play, I think, all or most of the second half with a concussion. That's a big deal. And, of course, the Kings wait until the last minute.
Cantor goes for 29.
Yeah. Enes Kanter, however the hell you pronounce his name.
That sounds unhealthy.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, Kanter off the bench. 29-12. And there you go, guys. Dave Yeager looked like he was getting a colonoscopy most of the game. And that's, I think, what it felt like to a lot of fans. My wife and kids were out there. They had a blast because, you know, they're little kids and they got popcorn.
They went to the game.
They were at the game last night, yeah.
There's always, like, talk about, when you hear coaching vacancies, and it's like, oh, Kevin Ollie or John Calipari or whatever. And it's like, well, you can't just jump from college to the pro. That never works out. Sometimes I feel like that's exactly the type of coach that this franchise needs, or like maybe a high school coach, or like someone that could just teach them really basic fundamentals of how to not do stupid crap on a basketball court. Like, I feel like Dave Yeager's almost too good of a coach to where he's like, you're going to have to ask him to dumb it down so freaking much. Whatever,
this is
dude.
A veteran team. These are older guys. None of the younger guys are playing. And if it's one of those situations, if they don't know it by now, they're never going to get it.
I didn't say they were young. I was saying
they suck.
No,
but when it comes to fundamentals, if they don't know them now, they're never going to get it.
So you got to bounce them then, right? You got to bounce the players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, but there's no secret that this roster isn't a complete product. You know,
we've been saying that though for 3 years, haven't we?
Well, probably longer than that.
That's the problem, is Dave Yeager comes in and Dave Yeager's conditioned to wanting to win. Make the playoffs, do with what you have.
He knew what he was doing when he took this job.
Sure he did. I think, and I'm not speaking out of school here, and I don't know this for a fact, but if I had to guess, I'd say Dave Yeager knows he doesn't really have a great team. I think he knows that. If in his heart of hearts, he knows that. And that moves need to be made. So I think at some point, Vlade needs to go to DeMarcus Cousins. If they're going to sign him, if that's the deal, if they're going to extend him, and say, can you deal with, we want to blow this thing up and build around you. We're going to do everything we can to play our young guys. We'd like to bring these kids up from the D-League, get them some time. We need to build for the future. Bogdan Bogdanovich is coming over next year. We need to keep our pick this year. We need to see if we can't. You know, we got a number one for Marco Bellinelli. Let's see what we can get for Rudy, for anyone else. I think you have to take a good hard look at a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein. I'd like to see him play 30, 35 minutes a game for a decent stretch so you either prove that the guy's head is in the clouds and he's just either isn't a basketball guy or isn't a basketball guy here.
Somebody asked about his playing time last night at the end of the media availability post game, and that was the most clear answer that Coach Yeager has given on Willie's playing time. Basically, he said, look, he's a young guy. It's his second year. He still has a long ways to go, but he's not going to play until he beats out Kostas Koufos, and he hasn't done that yet.
Sure.
And, you know, he's not wrong. He's not wrong, and I understand the whole thing behind playing and developing the young guys. And then there's also this side of me that I'm like, you play if you deserve to play. That's Nate. It's coming from an athlete's perspective. It's really hard to be the guy that's sitting on the bench that deserves to be on the field or on the court that's not playing because they need some young guy behind you to develop. It's like, if you earn the playing time, you play. And that is kind of the approach that Dave Yeager takes to it.
What did Kosta Kufis do to earn that playing time? I mean, like, I
feel like Are you trying to tell me that he has not outplayed Willie Cauley-Stein?
No, what I'm saying is that I feel like that was determined, like, long before this season even started. Like, I don't know that Willie's gotten a chance necessarily. Kosta Kufis had 6 points, a board and an assist, and five fouls last night.
He had a great game on Friday against Cleveland.
Okay, well,
sure.
I mean,
and Omri Caspi had a great game against the Pistons the game before, and he got 6 minutes the following game. Now, Dave Yeager's
going... Yeah, but who's he going to play in front of? Rudy?
Yes. Yeah. Aaron.
Jeez.
Why not? Why wouldn't he have Aaron Aflalo's minutes?
I mean, does
not a two.
A lot of this come back
position
to, like,
thing.
Why?
It's one thing to be playing, and it's another thing to be defending at that position.
Why are some of these guys even on the roster? Like, why are we having this discussion for a 16-win team? Like, why are we bargaining playing time for the Kosta Kufises and the Aaron Aflalos of the world? Honestly, like, why is this happening?
That's a fair question.
I mean, it's a fair question. I get what you're saying.
16 wins at this point wasn't the plan, but
Willie doesn't even look interested in playing to me right now. Why play a guy that needs time and needs to develop that looks like he could care less to be out on the floor?
Well, then you have Matt Barnes getting stupid technicals and playing hurt, and I'm wondering why. Dave Yeager, I think, is conditioned to – Dave Yeager is going a long way with me based on I think he's a good guy, which shouldn't matter at all. That's stupid, but I do think he's a good guy, and he has a good track record. And I think he's a very good – I do think he's a good coach. But it's almost the Vlade Divac corollary. If they aren't who they are, they're just Joe Freddie Smith. You know, if you took Dave Yeager out of his body and put George Karl in it, I think George Karl would be getting killed this year on his rotations. I think he'd be killed this year on his substitution patterns. I think he'd be getting killed this year on when he takes out starters and how long he leaves them out and then bringing them back in when the bench is on a run. I think Dave Yeager is looking long-term, and I appreciate that to a point. But I think that long-term kind of stops when he's focused on winning, doing everything he can to win right now. And to Nate's point, Katie, I understand what you're saying. You're right. I think you're both right. But I know what Kosta Kufis is. I know what he is. And I think he's a very serviceable backup big man. I don't know what Willie Cauley-Stein is. And as a 16-win team, I need to find out what he is.
Here's something that you need to understand.
You need to understand. Don't tell me what I need to do. You do.
Dave.
Katie.
Here's something that you and everyone listening needs to understand.
She doubled down.
Wow.
Okay.
<All right>.
Okay.
I
understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
My question here is there needs to be a clarification between the front office and the coaching staff. What are you trying to accomplish right now? Are you trying to win? If that is what it is, and I absolutely 100% believe that that is the message you're getting from the front office.
I agree.
Then Dave Yeager is trying to win games. Now, if you're trying to prepare for the offseason and acquire draft picks and make some changes on the roster and develop young guys, then that's the message that needs to be portrayed. People want to talk about what Dave Yeager's doing and how his rotations are and his coaching decisions and not playing the young guys. They need to first think about what is the message that he is getting from the front office. And if this is the message, then he's doing his job.
Okay, and I agree with you. I fully believe that ownership and by proxy the front office are obsessed with making the playoffs. That's been the goal since they bought the team.
There you go.
Make the playoffs your first year at Golden 1. That has been the obsession with this franchise. That is a fact. That is indisputable. That is a fact. We all know that. But here's my question. Let me push back on you. So what if Dave Yeager says, well, I'm glad you guys feel that way. I'm going to go ahead and look to the future. What are they going to do? They're going to fire Yeager? What are they going to do to him? You going to fire another coach?
Do you think that Dave Yeager, who's in his first year as a head coach, hasn't even reached the halfway point of the season?
Yeah.
He wants to be here long term. He said from the very beginning of the season that this is a development phase. This is a team that in a few years he believes can be a very good team. Do you think he wants to burn all of his bridges before you meet the halfway point of the season?
Burn all of his bridges?
Yeah, by saying, you know what? You hired me. You're in a tough spot now. If you fire me, you look like a bunch of idiots, so I'm just going to give you the middle finger and do what I want.
Yeah.
It has to be a working relationship between the coaching staff and the front office.
Can it be just as simple as Dave Yeager wants to win games, period?
Yes,
that's it.
I think it is.
He wants to win games, and this is the roster he's been given. Like, I'm mostly on your side. I don't blame Dave Yeager for any of this. His job is to win games. That's what he's trying to do. If you want to blame someone, blame this piece of crap roster he's been handed that doesn't allow him to develop guys like Willie Cauley-Stein or whatever it is. There's no room for them on the floor.
We'll get back to that at 7:30 with quite a bit of talk about your Sacramento Kings in the midst of football and everything else. Sean Salisbury at 8:05. Four Down Territory is in 4 minutes, and we're going to tackle Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. Who's better? No, really, honestly, who would you rather have? We'll tackle that next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK.
Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, Dak Prescott with the two-point conversion to tie the game. Most impressive individual performance this weekend.
I have four nominees. I'll name one because I'm going first, and I don't want to be that guy and steal things. And I think there's one everyone's going to lean towards. I'm not giving it to him. I'm giving it to Matthew Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons. Ryan played an almost flawless game against what is still a pretty damn decent defense in Seattle. And I think he exercised a lot of the demons Falcons fans and NFL, quote, experts were worried about. Three touchdowns, zero picks. He flat out played like an MVP against a good defense. I'm going to nod to Matt.
I was looking at him too. There's three guys that stick out to me, and his quarterback rating, 125 plus. It's really impressive. But God, Aaron Rodgers threw for 356 yards. I mean, that is in a Dallas defense is really, really good. But also Jared Cook, that catch when he was like falling out of bounds to be like it just curled up in a ball and still get both feet in. That to me was maybe the most impressive play of the weekend. But I've got to give it to Aaron Rodgers. And I hate saying it because it's like, oh, yeah, you're a Packers fan.
Shocker.
But he had an amazing game.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he's the guy, but I'm going to, since, you know, we got to give someone else honorable mention here, I'm going with Le'Veon Bell. Mm. Not just the 170 yards leading his team to a win because the weather was crappy. They knew that they needed to ride him. 30 carries, man, that ain't easy. And he just continued to produce. That was huge.
Honorable mention to Le'Veon Bell. I'll tell you my third and fourth nominees, though. I would have put Rodgers second right behind Matt Ryan. You could flip-flop on that. But how about Mason Crosby making two 50-plus field goals on the road?
And after the first one was good and Garrett called the timeout.
And by the way, that kick looked like it was knuckling left, and it straightened out, and it still trips me out. No, nobody's going to mention this guy. No one's going to mention this guy this Monday.
Does it start with a D?
No.
Oh.
How about Chris Boswell?
Chris Boswell.
How about the kicker for the Steelers?
Scored all the points.
You know, on the road, Arrowhead, where it was like a degree.
And, yeah, that's the thing is that I don't know that there's been any missed field goals, and it was the weather.
It
holy
was
cow.
It pretty damn good.
Devontae Freeman with the big catch and run on the
Which
Atlanta Falcons radio network. Most impressive team performance this weekend.
Well, I'm going to not pick the Packers because I think that's obvious. I'm actually going to go with the Steelers because the way that they won that game to me was really, really impressive. They did what they had to do. It was not pretty. Kansas City is not an easy place to go in and play, and I thought that the Chiefs played really well. And to be able to win a game by not throwing a single touchdown, that to me is impressive in the playoffs.
I'm going with the Falcons because aside from the fact that the Seahawks took the ball right down the field and scored on the opening possession, it was all Falcons after that. That game was never in question after the after the Falcons finally scored, it was over.
Yeah.
That was it. It didn't get close. The Seahawks didn't make a push at the end. They worked them from beginning to finish.
Yeah, I was going to pick this team regardless of what the two of you said, so it's interesting we're going three different teams because I would have happily repeated you guys. You could flip-flop all these. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I'm going to go with the Patriots because they still have the largest margin of victory. They dropped a 34-burger on Houston, which has a pretty damn good defense, and they didn't look good. The Patriots didn't look good, and they still won 34-16.
Is that an impressive performance? Not looking good?
To me, that is a scary, impressive performance because what happens when they wake up? What happens
Texans
now?
Texans don't count, Dave.
Okay,
they
all right.
They don't.
All right. No snooze is good snooze.
Atlanta Falcons Radio Network again. Dave, disrespecting Atlanta with this question. Does Atlanta seem like the ugly duckling of the Final Four?
Well, yeah, because they are. Like, they've got no resume. They've really, they're not even built in a way that's conducive to winning playoff games. They don't really have a defense. Like, yeah, they've got a great running back, but they're an indoor team that likes to throw the ball. They don't fit, man. And it's the Falcons.
They have the probable MVP of the league in Matt Ryan. They have 1.5 good running backs, I would correct you, in both Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And they have one of the best receivers in the entire game in Julio Jones. And Dan Quinn knows a little bit about playing defense, too, regardless, you know, despite the theory of the Falcons
well,
and their reputation.
Well, he knows a little bit about standing next to Pete Carroll.
Yes, he does. Yeah, they're the ugly duckling. You have established historical franchises with Hall of Fame quarterbacks playing, and then you have Matt Ryan and the Falcons. They look like the ugly duckling, but, hey, you know what they say? The ugly duckling can score touchdowns.
It's kind of crazy because they didn't get a lot of love during the regular season either. And the Steelers, I think, is the only other team that you could maybe say might be the ugly duckling just because of the way that they do it. It's a little bit different game. But when you look at the Steelers, like, they had about a month during the regular season where they didn't look great. They won 7 straight to get to the playoffs. So without a doubt, it's Atlanta. But they shouldn't be. But they are. That's how it is.
I had to put something in there from the New England Patriots radio network. Put on your general manager caps. Would you rather have this guy, Aaron Rodgers? Wow. Yeah, who would you rather have from their rookie year, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Oh, boy. See, here's the thing. I think Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time. But I can absolutely hear an argument that if you put Tom Brady as a rookie on the Packers and you put Aaron Rodgers as a rookie on the Patriots – and their time and place in their rookie year, you tell me Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have done just as well or better than Tom Brady? I honest to God think, much like Dan Marino was a better quarterback, I believe, than Joe Montana, pure quarterback.
Arm talent.
Joe Montana is the better quarterback overall. I think the same thing goes with Brady. I think except Rodgers has rings. But I take Rodgers, weirdly enough, Katie.
Gosh, that's a really tough question because both of them are amazing quarterbacks. And when you think about who they came up behind, obviously Aaron Rodgers had to sit there and wait for Brett Favre to decide what he was doing with his life. I think he was ready way before we actually got to see him. And then Tom Brady took Drew Bledsoe's job. And so it's one of those situations where it's like God only knows what the – it's like we didn't get to see them their rookie year like a Dak Prescott. So I don't know. I would go with Aaron Rodgers just because I'm a Packers fan.
I would too. I think all things being equal in terms of like talent and skill set, first off, Aaron Rodgers is more mobile. Second, Aaron Rodgers has been being handicapped by two of his coaches for his entire career. You can't say that about Tom Brady. He's had years where his defense has carried that team. Aaron Rodgers has never had that. And the only reason he doesn't have more than one ring is because of the people around him.
Ooh.
Damn you, Nate. I knew I liked you.
Listen,
I knew I liked you for a reason.
I don't like Tom Brady and the Patriots. So let's get that out there. I am biased. I hate him. I think Tom Brady represents like a lot of really awful things. He's such a phony moron.
I love you, Nathan.
I can't stand him. There's nothing.
Aaron Rodgers, he's a real man.
That's right.
It's not like Tom Brady's been surrounded with superstar talent his entire career, though, either. He just doesn't have a strong arm as Rodgers. He's not as mobile as Rodgers, but there you go. He's got a lot of rings. He's got a lot of records. He's got a lot of stats.
I think the coaching staff thing is a major point.
339-1140, Rodgers or Brady from their rookie year on, who are you taking to build your franchise around? We're talking about maybe the greatest quarterback of all time in Brady, and would you actually take one of his contemporaries over him? 339-1140. In 4 minutes, we will get back to all the NFL playoff games along with sound, analysis, and all kinds of fun stuff. Sean Salisbury at 8:05. Hey, today, starting, well, in about 2 minutes, Hugh Stadium, Sac City College on Freeport Boulevard, join KHDK. We're honoring Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy to inspire positive action at the 35th annual March for the Dream. Invite someone from a different background to walk with you today. That starts in 2 minutes. We'll take a break. Back in 3 minutes on The Drive, Sports 1140, KHDK. 7:35, time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. Coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th through the 22nd. Coming up in about 20 minutes, maybe, let's say 7:55-ish, When we go to break at the end of the segment, and listen up, Matt, because you're gonna be interested to hear Matt George. We've got a promotion going on this week. We're calling it Golfing on a Prayer. Yeah, silly.
Oh, my, did you name that?
Listen to the. I might have come up with that. Listen to us. All right, 7:55 every day. You can win tickets to Bon Jovi February 28th, the Golden One Center. Those are going to be in your pocket.
Kay. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can qualify for the grand prize. It's you and five of your buddies to go to Top Golf, and you get your very own golf bay. All right, for the championship games. We'll be out there having fun, playing golf next to you. You come out, watch the game, have a couple pops, do your thing, right? Matt, I'm glad you're playing this because this will not be part of the contest, but how we're going to qualify people is very simple. Mm-hmm. When we go to break, we're going to play you about a one-second snippet, a one-second clip of a very popular Bon Jovi song.
Oh, my
God. It's going to be one of their hits. Now, I'm not going to say which one, but it's going to be one of their hits. You figure out what song that is, and you be the first caller. You're going to qualify. You're going to win the Bon Jovi tickets. You're going to qualify for Top Golf.
Nice.
So, Matt, make sure you have that snippet ready to go here in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, heads up.
And we will make it happen. By the way, this is Bon Jovi Living on a Prayer at KHDK.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's experience.
Today's hits, yesterday's favorites right here, KHDK.
Without the rap.
Yeah. Right. That's our sister state. Okay. Oh, by the way, before we get into the playoffs, Katie, I want to just throw this at you since Nate and I were outside yammering while you were inside prepping for the show this morning.
While I was driving to work.
Well, you're inside somewhere.
Keep throwing yourself under the bus.
Hey,
I'm covering for you.
I made it in time.
You did.
But I'm normally here before everybody else.
It's okay.
She will. So I was So I was involved in a number of internet squabbles over the weekend
of my own doing on Facebook.
Now, were you on my social media all over the weekend?
Just say no.
No, I don't think not right. much. I mean, I always see your stuff.
I'm gonna throw out a topic and I want you to guess which side I'm on. Okay. All right. These were all threads on my Facebook page.
Okay.
Thread number one. The Ringling Brothers Circus has been canceled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Am I cool with that or am I sad?
You're probably a moron, and you're probably sad about it.
Very sad about it. That's correct.
At risk of editorializing.
And also putting in her own editorializing in there, too. So I will not. That could easily take over. Yeah, right? No more circus. It's going away.
I'm happy about
that. Closing it down tomorrow. I hate it. It sucks.
They feel like they could compete with us, right, guys?
Right? Thank you.
Woo-hoo! High five.
So we'll tell our grandchildren the legends of the circus and how they used to actually have circuses with animals, not just people flying off the things, you know, like Cirque du Soleil. So there's that. That's number one.
That'd be awesome if they did circuses with people. Watch the person sit on the thing. Like
right? Thread number two, Colin Kaepernick. Was I hammering him or was I supporting
him?
Was I defending him or hammering him? You say defending him?
Probably defending him.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, you were. Once again, you're 2-0. I actually defended Colin Kaepernick. That's right. Number three,
okay.
UC Davis canceled the appearances of Martin Shkreli and Milos Yiannopoulos over the weekend with their protests and all that. Was I happy that it was canceled and applauding the protesters, or was I sad
about it?
You were
hammering the protesters because they don't know how to spell fascism.
Oh, you were on my Facebook page.
I saw that one thing.
That's absolutely correct. And then the...
It's better than not knowing how to read a ballot.
Great point.
Proceed.
Then I don't remember the next one was. But I can tell you this. I did succeed in getting, pretty much everyone from every side of the
pissed
aisle
off.
To absolutely be pissed off at me, which is always
fun.
Well,
a successful weekend for you.
It really is.
You pissed off your wife because of the Hunting Hitler show?
I liked Hitting Hitler.
Well, because I called it Hitting Hitler.
Hitting Hitler.
She got mad. The Hunting Hitler farce. Oh, maybe he was alive. No, he wasn't. Well, we have no proof. Let's make three seasons of it. Thanks to Jersey Mike's for always supporting Four Down Territory, two Sacramento area locations, 624 Watt Avenue, Arden Town Center, Fulton Marconi, the town of Country Village. Hey, they bake their bread fresh daily, kids. Do you? Probably not. And they feature fresh-made cold subs and fresh-grilled hot subs.
I love bread!
I love bread!
Huge
classic.
Fan. Huge fan of bread. Okay.
Okay, nobody knows what I'm doing.
No.
I love bread! I love bread! Oh, my gosh. That's Oprah's freaking Weight Watchers commercial.
Oh, God. How do we not know that? Jeez.
Swing and a miss by us.
Try the tip of my tongue and everything.
Oprah.
Do you not know it now?
Nope.
No. Oh, wow.
Nope. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. That's going to live.
And sausage.
That's gonna live in infamy. The Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys played a fantastic game, an instant classic. As you mentioned, both teams had to stick around after the game because there was, you know, tornado watch in the Arlington area.
I wonder how long that lasted because I was kind of following it on social media and I saw that it was, you know, maybe an hour after the game and they were still there. And we talked about it outside. Like, I know after a Kings game, like, the players, there's a ton of food there. Uh-huh. And then you get on the plane and there's a ton of food there. Like, it's these guys are eating constantly. I can't even imagine how much food would have to be there at that stadium to hold both teams there for a couple hours afterwards.
I'm pretty sure Cowboys Stadium has food covered, though. I mean, it's not like we're dealing with, like, rations.
I know, but...
it's a lot of food, though.
I know, but I just know that,
hey man,
you know, they
Jerry
have...
didn't become a billionaire by spending money on food for his players, right?
Chick-fil-A or something. They got to have a stash in there somewhere.
Not open on Sunday.
Oh, great point.
There you
Nathan
go.
Goodyear.
Nice pull for you.
Dak Prescott's going to get some crap. He probably shouldn't. Here he was tying the game up. That's 28-28, and it was Prescott versus the defense. And he went for it, man. He absolutely went for it. It was a design draw. He squirted through the middle, took a couple hits, and he tied the game up. I actually thought he acquitted himself fairly well in the game. I don't think he wasn't Aaron Rodgers, but he was pretty damn good.
You can't play defense, man.
Can you honestly look at that game and go, well, Tony Romo, though, probably could have done something.
Hell no. That's nonsense.
See, they started really badly, and I was like, oh, no. You know, here's everything we've all kind of been talking about last couple weeks with you got two rookies. What are they going to do in the playoffs? Are they going to be able to handle it? It looked from the beginning like, oh, they're a little stunned, but it wasn't just those two. It looked like the entire team just did not come prepared to play, ready to go, didn't maybe – expect that the Packers were going to come out like that. But, man, Dak Prescott, he threw for 302
okay,
yards.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Prescott.
Thank you.
You
it's
know
the
why?
Fourth time, and I didn't
you
say
know
anything
why,
the
though?
First three.
You want to know why? Because I'm from, like, in Arizona, there's Prescott, Arizona. It's spelled the same way, but, like, it's kind of like
that's
Louisville.
How it's pronounced?
Prescott.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's like Louisville, like, New Orleans.
I hate it when you do that to
Nolens.
Me. I didn't say anything.
I know.
Anything.
I'm sorry.
That's all
I
right.
don't catch it either. I'm just so used to it. Dak Prescott.
Yes, Prescott.
Yes, Dak Prescott.
Prescott, like biscuit.
Yeah, Prescott is a place in Arizona. Okay. But anyway, I mean, three touchdowns, just one. He really was impressive to me. And then Ezekiel Elliott, man. It's hard to bring that guy down.
He's got stronger as the game went on.
Yeah.
He was doing that Marshawn Lynch thing where it's just, you could
There's
see.
There's like three guys, and he still makes like three more yards.
Yeah. I mean, I love watching running backs like that where you can just, Frank Gore was the same way where it's just like you, and Marshawn Lynch where you just, it's like every time that someone makes contact with them, it makes them stronger. And throughout the course of the game, it's just like they're adding XP points. Every time someone bounces.
Games, right?
Seriously, isn't it like that, though, where, like, you see, you remember the way Frank Gore used to be? Like, the first four or five runs of the game, he would, like, cut and he would slip or something weird. It looked like he wasn't really on balance. And then he would take, like, four or five shots. And then on, like, the sixth or seventh carry, he'd take a shot and he would keep his balance. And then he'd keep going. You'd be like, all right. It's on now. And you would see the same thing with Marshawn, and you saw it with Ezekiel Elliott yesterday. That dude is a force. And if they had any semblance of defense whatsoever, and maybe a Bryce Butler could catch the ball, you know, you're in business if you're the Cowboys.
That's the thing, though. The Cowboys have a good defense.
Yeah.
They have a good defense. Yeah. They're not great, but they're not horrible. They're definitely not bottom of the barrel.
They're not bottom of the barrel.
Is their defense that poor, or is the Packers' offense just that good?
Well, I mean, I think you got a little bit of both. Like, no one's stopping Aaron Rodgers these
days.
They
won 13 games during the regular season. Are you trying to tell me that their defense is bad?
I'm trying to tell you that they did it with smoke and mirrors. I mean, we talked about it all year. They owned time of possession. Their defense was fresh. If you can't own that, then it doesn't do you any good. Did anyone feel like they were going to stop Aaron Rodgers after Dak Prescott tied the game? Anyone feel that way? Like there was any chance at all that game was going to overtime? There was what, two minutes left at that point?
I was worried about how much time was going to be left on the clock. Now I want to go back to what I asked you guys in the 6 a.m. hour. Is it really that outlandish, even if you disagree,
about that.
to for Jerry Jones to consider making a move at coach from a guy who very well could win coach of the year this year? It's not Dak Prescott, just like it wasn't Tony Romo. There's a reason why I feel like the Cowboys are reborn and they have a tremendous future. A tremendous future. We talk about Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. We forget that, oh, they might have the best offensive line in the game along with the Raiders. They have a top five, arguably, receiver in Dez Bryant. Jason Witten's going to play until he's 77 years old. They have a good team. But can Jason Garrett take them to the next level? And if you don't believe that, and Nate, you pointed out several, Katie, you did too, several coaching misfires coming out of the game that put the Cowboys, or helped put the Cowboys, in the hole they were, that they had to claw out of, that they did claw out of. But is it that outlandish to say, Jason, you're not a bad coach, but you've been here long enough? And again, I'll use Doug Collins to Phil Jackson. Doug Collins had a successful year with the Chicago Bulls the year he got fired. But they brought in Phil Jackson to take them over the top. They brought in Tony Dungy, John Gruden, to take the Buccaneers over the top. So why not bring somebody in to take over for Jason Garrett and take the Cowboys over the top?
I'm really curious how Cowboy fans look at this, because as an outsider, as just like a member of the media looking at this team, I kind of say that Jason Garrett did a phenomenal job because he was able to have the success that he did, whether or not, you know, like Nate said, it was done with smoke and mirrors during the regular season, but he did it with a rookie running back and a rookie quarterback. And he was able to get that team to play at an extremely high level. And then you look at the argument, it's like, well, you got to the playoffs and you completely laid an egg. So is that the coach's fault? Is it the player's fault? I don't know in this situation. To me, I think it's like, I understand your point, Dave, but how much of this is on him? Like, only so much can go on the coach, right? Part of this has to go as a fault to the players, because when it's all said and done, you know that team was prepared to play. They didn't come out like they were. You can't tell me that.
Well, then how do you know they were prepared to play?
Because they had 2 weeks. It's an NFL team. You know they spent two weeks prepping those guys.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying, why do you assume that they were prepared to play and using the 2 weeks instead? Why wouldn't you also allow for the fact that they had 2 weeks to play and they weren't prepared, and that goes on the coaching staff?
No, to prepared, not prepared as in like they didn't know the plays and know the call. No, I'm saying like as in prepared to come out from the time that ball was kicked off and perform. They came out maybe a little bit too confident, maybe a little bit lackadaisical, which you never should do against the Packers ever. And you shouldn't be doing in the playoffs. So I kind of look at it in this point. I can't in my mind imagine that this coaching staff did not have them prepared with everything that they needed in their toolbox. I just don't think that it falls to the players in terms of how you start, doesn't it, Nate?
Nate, first, and to your point, to her point, first play, first drive of the game, mm-hmm. they had the Packers bottled up, and you get the substitution penalty, mm-hmm. which extends the drive that they end up scoring on. You saw the, what was it, unsportsmanlike conduct. I don't know if I'd ever seen that play before, going into a huddle and then immediately running off and not being a part of the actual play. Those are organizational coaching errors. Mm-hmm. Documented, Nate.
That's
so
it.
That to me is a problem.
That's the story right there. Let's look at the unsportsmanlike. Let's start there. There's only a couple of things that could have happened there. It's up to Jason Garrett to call out the personnel that's going to be on the field, right?
Yeah.
I guarantee he called out Bryce Butler's personnel. Either it was called out in a way that wasn't clear, or they changed their mind, which again is your head. That's on your head coach. There was a miscommunication there. That's on your head coach. And then you got the substitutions early on. I'll tell you what's damning about that. Not the fact that they couldn't pull it off, but Troy Aikman talked about it on the broadcast. Nobody substitutes against the Packers. They know better. That's how you get burned. And the Cowboys went into that game thinking that they would be able to pull it off. That was their they thought that they would be able to make substitutions, and they got boned on the first play that mm-hmm. they tried to do it. That again is on your coach. That shouldn't have even been part of the idea. That was a bad plan from the get.
All right, so two questions for you guys. Question number one, let's go around the horn. Katie, start with you, and we'll go clockwise, left to right on your radio dial here. Should Jason Garrett be back next year?
Yes.
Nate?
Yeah.
I say no. I say you move him.
I mean, it's tough. Like, here's the other thing, too, is, again, we're painting either he's good or he's terrible. Jason Garrett is the definition of a mediocre NFL coach. I mean, he's just like every other dude out there. I mean, I would even throw Mike McCarthy into the mix. Is he that much better than Mike McCarthy? No, McCarthy has Aaron Rodgers. Jason Garrett in his career, what's his record here? He's 58-46, okay? Three seasons of 8-8. Then he went 12-4, and then he backed that up with a 4-12 season,
yeah.
Right? So is anyone going to be surprised if they bounce right back and not 3-13 next year, but have a, I don't know, a mediocre season because the league
is that a
catches-
bounce back?
Well,
no, I mean,
no,
I know.
You know, like,
how would
you that's what he's
to
saying.
Right?
Yeah.
The opposite bounce back. Are they going to regress? It wouldn't surprise me.
All right, question number two right after this clip. I'm looking over at the text line at 44-11-40 and a couple of Chiefs fans that were talking garbage all week long about how we weren't giving them enough credit when we just assumed that most likely the Chiefs and the Cowboys would get bounced because, well, we don't trust them in the playoffs. I haven't seen them yet this morning, weirdly enough. My second question to you guys is about Andy Reid. Should Andy Reid move on because he just cannot perform with this team in the postseason? Or should Andy Reid be credited for doing, for maximizing, absolutely maximizing the overall talent he has on this team to even get to that regular season record and get to the playoffs? Which is it?
They play in probably the toughest division in the NFL.
And went undefeated.
Exactly. And I think that he probably has maximized this team and what they've been able to do. And yeah, they get bumped in the playoffs, but he should be back. They get so much criticism, that team. They really do. And they get overlooked all the time. And it doesn't help that you come into the playoffs and you get beat like that. But I think he's maximized it.
Nate Goodyear, great coach that can't win in the playoffs. Really great coach that's maximizing the talent that shouldn't be in the playoffs in the first place. Oh. Or answer number three.
Or whatever you want to say.
I think we all think Andy Reid is at some point a good to great coach. He's mm-hmm. a good coach, but is he a guy that just can't get it done in the playoffs, or is he already overachieving with this team anyways?
I mean, I think his resume prior to this would say can't get it done in the playoffs, but I didn't watch last night and see a classic Andy Reid meltdown. There wasn't like freaky clock mismanagement or anything weird like that. They just lost to a better team. It was a tough break. In fact, I think this is one of the best jobs Andy Reid's done. He's finally got a group that he can get a handle on. I mean, you watch the way – this is not a vanilla offense. Andy Reid is still a brilliant offensive mind. Yeah. I mean, some of the
if
wrinkles –
if you didn't have that holding call, we'd be having a totally different conversation right now.
I give him all the credit in the world. And I don't know how they lost that game. I think the Steelers are just better.
Isn't part of it, too. Coaches can only do so much, and you mm-hmm. have to have the personnel. Yes. And I'll give you an example. I was thinking about this morning. Remember when we were like a year ago, we were like, oh, my God, the Bears are getting John Fox and Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Dude, they're going to roll. That defense is going to be insane. Yeah, no. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Ted, you're on the drive.
Hey,
Ted.
How's it going? Good morning.
What's cracking there, Theodore Esquire?
Good morning. Well, I just want to talk about this Cowboy thing. The thing that kills me, these retread coaches like Rod Marinelli that go 0-16 as a head coach, become the defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys and blow their season to smithereens with the most ridiculous, unprepared game plan, like you said. It's just sickening. They rush three on that last pass,
yep.
And the defensive end crashes down. He's able to roll out and throw a 40-yard pass. You keep him in the pocket, you bring pressure, and make him get rid of the ball at 3rd and 20. I mean, there's the game, there's your season. I mean, it's Jason Garrett and his time management is ridiculous as can be, but to sit there and let that guy roll out on 3rd and 20, I mean, it's just brain dead.
Ted, if you're Jerry Jones, do you make a move at coach?
I make a move. I mean, you can't. It was 2nd and 9 on the 7-yard line, and you're trying to substitute players on a 3rd down where you know – and you had to waste the timeout. You think they could have used that timeout at the end of the game?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes.
I want to go back to rushing three because I don't think the mistake there was not bringing pressure. Aaron Rodgers torches pressure and has repeatedly.
But he thrives in it.
When you only bring three guys, the job of that's not a pass rush set. That is a contain the quarterback set. And what that means is you saw a failure from the defensive end to contain his guy. The Cowboys had a lot of success early in the year when they beat Aaron Rodgers. And granted, Aaron Rodgers was struggling with his accuracy.
Sure.
But they straight up rushed three guys. They rushed two guys. They played man free, and they had a lot of success with it. I thought that was the right call. In fact, anyone that's pretty much ever beaten Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs has done it without bringing pressure. I remember a couple of years ago when the 49ers beat him. I was keeping stats on that game, and I kept track of every time that the Niners brought more than four guys. One time, all game long. They almost never did it. So that was more a question of execution than the game plan.
We'll continue this conversation with Sean Salisbury next. Clay and the rest of you callers at 339-1140. We see you. But right now at 7:55, as promised, your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to Bon Jovi February 28th at the Golden One Center. And you can qualify for your own bay at Topgolf to watch championship football with us this Sunday. We said we're going to play a tiny snippet of a song. This is just a split snippet. You be the first caller at 339-1140 to know what the song is, and boom, you got it. Matt, roll tape. Wow.
Oh, I know that one.
Do you?
Easy.
Do you really?
Easy.
See, I think it is too. Can you give us that same snippet, just the same snippet again? He's like, no, damn it. Just give us the same time frame. There you go. That's so simple. 339-1140 and Bon Jovi. It really is, though.
That was me running over my cat this morning.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Sean Salisbury in 4 minutes next and our winner on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.